You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, we're down to the second installment of our series called Hope Has Come. This will be our Christmas series. That is, for the rest of December, we will be talking about this series. And the whole point of this series is for us to be reminded of the importance or the value of celebrating the Christmas season. Because sometimes, regardless of whatever you're feeling now, there are some people nga pag padulong na ang Pasko, they're not really that excited. Because of the preparation, the shopping, the buying, the decorating, the cooking, sometimes they get exhausted. Perhaps you've found yourself like that. Maybe last year or this year, you're feeling a bit tired trying to prepare for the perfect Christmas party. Whether it be in your family or sa reunion, sa clan ninyo or something, or sa work ninyo. Maybe you're a bit stressed over it. For some people, they get sad and lonely pag palapit ng Christmas season. There's what we call the Christmas blues. In fact, there's this article that I found online that says, why does depression tend to increase during the holidays? Some people feel lonely, feel sad, feel left out, maybe because they're having work during the Christmas Eve. It makes people feel sad. Or for some people, they don't feel like celebrating Christmas because they feel like they had a bad year. I crowned 2019. This happened to me. Or this happened to my family. I don't feel like celebrating because all of these problems, frustrations, and failures that I've experienced this year. Not to belittle or not to downplay what we experienced throughout the year, but this installment or this series is to remind us that amidst all of those things, we still have a reason to celebrate Christmas. We can still be grateful and joyful amidst the storms in our life, and we can still celebrate Christmas. So quick recap before we get to the second installment. Last week, we talked about incarnation. We learned last week that incarnation basically means to be in the flesh, that God came into this world as Jesus. And that's the main reason why we celebrate Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. He's coming here, and that's a pretty big deal. We learned about the importance of His birth. Now, it's not just some decoration. It's not just some elements of Christmas, nga pang nativity scene, chada lang siya sa balay. It is something important. Jesus came to fulfill and redeem us from the curse of the law. He rescued us. He saved us from that. But this week, we'll talk more about the implications when He came. Okay, He rescued ko Jesus. Unsa pa may tabo ba ana? So for this week, we'll talk about redemption. We'll talk about what this word means, why it's important, and why we should thank God for it. Especially this word, redemption. Why did Jesus have to redeem us from the law nga ba? Ano man, di ta pwede biyaan ra niya. Why go through all of that just for our benefit, to redeem us? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. It says here in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. A bit of context for those of you who missed our first installment on what the book of Galatians is all about. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote it to address certain issues in the region of Galatia. Because in that region, there was more than one church. So it was written to more than one group of people lang. Now the problem was that in the church of Galatia, there were some people who came into the church and started teaching that for you to be saved, for you to be righteous and deemed holy or deemed justified before God, you need something else apart from your faith in Jesus. Kulang daw na siya. And they were teaching that you needed to add something to your faith in Christ, and that is the Jewish law. You need to be circumcised if you're a man, and you need to follow the laws that the Jewish people were subscribing. So basically, Paul wrote this letter to address that problem and to defend and explain to them the gospel. He's writing to the people in Galatia, now, why are you doing these things? Why are you adding something to the gospel of Christ? It's perfect as it is. You don't need to add something to it. It's like, let's say vanilla, chocolate, whatever, di ba? Lami ng ice cream in itself. What if someone will tell you, dungangan ng ketchup ang ice cream para mo lami siya? Parang magbidyo weird ang ketchup o ice cream or hot sauce. I don't know what will that taste like. It's kind of like that ang ginabot ng mga people. They wanted to add something to the gospel of Christ, which in itself was sufficient and enough for salvation. So Paul was defending the gospel. Now you might be asking, why are we talking about the gospel, Tom? Abi na Christmas tak kabahin karon. Why are we talking about this thing, the gospel? Well, basically, here's the thing. Without the gospel, we would not have a reason to celebrate Christmas. The reason why we celebrate Christmas is we're celebrating the birth of Christ. One of the first parts of the gospel, the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. We're celebrating that. So, for Paul to defend the gospel is important for us if we want to fully embrace the value of celebrating this season. Now in verse 4, it says here, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. And just to quickly summarize from last week, incarnation, it means that first, Jesus came at the appointed and appropriate time. It came at such the right time. It wasn't last minute, na think ni God, or He missed the schedule. No, He had to come at that specific time. Not just that, we learned that Jesus is God. When God sent forth His Son, the word Son there means someone who has the same nature as the Father. So who else has the same nature as God, but God Himself. God came into this world as Jesus. Jesus is not just any other creature, human being, prophet, or angel. No, He is God. And that is important because it means that what He came here to do is something that only God Himself could accomplish. Yan ang big ang task that God had to do it Himself. Thirdly, Jesus was born and grew up. But even though He could have arrived here on earth in different number of ways, He chose to enter into this world the same way you and I came into existence, by being born into this world. That we could identify ourselves with Jesus. And He grew up as well. He did not stay a child. And lastly, He fulfilled the law. Okay, He fulfilled the Jewish law, which no one had, you know, previously was able to perfectly follow. And you might ask, why go through all of that? When Christ came into this world, ngano yana ka kuti ang giagian niya nga ma-check niya tatanan just to be here in this world. Why not miss one of those things? Why go through all of those things ba? And verse 5 basically gives us the answer why. And verse 5 says here, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now we look at this part by part. Firstly, it says here, there's the word redeem. And this word is very important. When you hear the word redeem, for many of us, we might think of like a pawn shop. You have to redeem a certain jewelry or item of importance. Balikan nimo sa pawn shop. Or for many, it's like those redemption booths at the malls. Or if mahiling mugwoof, if you have enough tickets, you can buy one of those prizes there. Kana mga mahalong dagang ticket kailangan, di ba? That's what we think about siguro when we think of the word redemption. But redemption in the biblical context, okay, in this particular verse, comes from the word exagorazo, which means to buy up, to ransom, or to rescue from loss. And it was originally used to describe when you were trying to set free a prisoner of war. So when you say prisoner of war, let's say sundalo siya, napildi sa Pika's, you know, army, then a capture. So if you want to set free that person, if you want to rescue that person, to pay up a ransom or something, then you exagorazo, redeem that person. And later on, the word redemption was used to set free captives or slaves in general. So basically, when you hear the word redemption in the biblical context, it always means the payment of a price to secure release, to set free something that was enslaved, captive, in chains. Okay, muna ang word ng redemption. Now it's interesting because what we've read in this verse is that Christ came into this world, He was sent forth in this world to redeem, to set free certain people who were captives or who were enslaved. And who was He supposed to redeem? Says here, those who were under the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 supports that saying, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law. Now what is this law and why is it important for us to know that? You know, some people were captive to it or they need to be redeemed from the curse of the law. The book of the law refers to the covenant laws that God made His people during the time of Moses. Are you familiar with the Exodus story when Moses rescued His people? You've probably seen it in some movies or some books or Sunday school or something. Moses was sent to rescue the people of Israel. And after that, he went to a certain mount and God gave him some commandments. Okay, the first of which were the Ten Commandments. But later on, God gave more and more commandments to His people. And that was basically the law. The Jewish people who were the people of God, they needed to follow that law. Because it was to set them apart as God's people. That's how they would live their lives, to honor God in a way that would please God. And to be under the law means that the law has jurisdiction or authority over a person to judge and condemn. It's like, itadritanan, we're under the law of the land, of the Philippines, or of Dumaguete City, if you want to be specific. So anything a law nasa country na to karon, it has authority over us. For example, if you park anywhere illegal here in the city, atakan kag ticket, you have to pay for that. You need to follow those rules, those laws. To be under the law also means that a person is obligated to keep that law or to follow that law because it has authority over you. And if you don't, it will condemn you or it will punish you. There will be a penalty. So what this verse tells us that Jesus came into this world to redeem people who were held captive by this law. And why were they held captive? As we learned last week, the law, it's so difficult to follow perfectly that no one could fulfill it. The law basically is like a mirror that tells people that they are more sinful than they think they are. If you think nabutan ngayon ka, when you measure up your righteousness to the law, you would say, ay, dili ko as righteous or as good as I think I am. It points to our need of a Savior. That's what the law does. So without Christ intervening, we would be stuck in a hopeless scenario wherein we would try to be good with our good deeds, trying to earn the favor of God, but we just can't do it. We cannot save ourselves or justify ourselves or make ourselves right. Unang itabo sa people who were trying to follow the law. They were captive to that law. Now you might ask, I'm not Jewish naman. How is this important to me? True enough, we'll talk about that. Now for the Jewish people, good news for them is that they would be set free from that. Muna ang whole point sa gospel. And the problem is that some Jewish people were trying to force that law to the non-Jewish people. And even though di na kailangan. If we're not Jewish, what does this have to do with us? Well, Romans 3:23 first tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whatever your nationality, your race, your background, we've all fall short. We've all sinned against God. And there's a consequence to that. There's a penalty for that or implications for that if we've sinned against God. And if you talk about that, Romans 2 verse 14 says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts while their conscience also bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. So in other words, even if we're not Jewish people, we would still be judged by our actions, by our deeds. Based on if we do something that's by nature of a law, we will still be judged by that. This is still relevant to us. Now, it would be bad news if there are no man ang story. But good thing it did not end there. But we'll get to more of the good news later. Now in 1 John chapter 3 verse 4, we're captives to the law naman. But it says here as well, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So here's the thing. Kung bad news na tong di nita makamit sa full expectation sa law, to miss the mark, to fail the requirements of the law means to sin. We aren't able to follow what God requires of us. And to sin is lawlessness. So in other words, double bagsak tao, we are not able to live the right way. And if we don't, we sin against God. And the consequence of sin, the bad news, if you think, what's my big deal kung makasala ko ni God naman? The wages of sin here is death. Not just physical death, but when you say death here, it pertains to our spiritual death, meaning eternal separation from the love, from the goodness, kindness, the grace of God. Now, we would experience for all eternity His holy, righteous wrath. Because God is just, He has to punish sin. But because He is gracious as well, we're not yet experiencing the full extent right here, right now. Not even though we've sinned against God, maybe an hour ago, 5 hours ago, yesterday, and even though pwede naman tayo punish ni God ato, right there and then, like pwede naman tayo kidlato niya, the moment we sin, He can do that, but He chose not to. Okay, He will unleash His full holy justice and wrath at the end of the age, and diya puntang tanang sinners. So the wages of sin is that eternal torment experiencing the holy wrath of God because He is just. And we say wages, muna ang makuha nimo every time you sin. And that's the bad news right there. It says of sin, not just one kind of sin. If you would think parang is mga murderers, mga terrorista, mga really, really bad people like Hitler or something like that. No. It says the wages of sin, any sin for that matter. You might think of your sin as small lang, insignificant, butan good, at least nakabasa pag Bible kanina. My sister, the wages of sin, it doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. It's like if you were to take an exam and ang passing score kay A, asking standard, no, A+. Then everyone around you, including you get an F. Or failing grade mo, but you compare, play grado ni mo bro, F. Mas na ako grado, F+ ang grado na ako. Diba? It doesn't matter. An F is still an F. You'd still fail. The same way with that verse when it talks about our sins. For the wages of sin is death. John 8 verse 34 says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. Before Christ came, because of our sins, we were slaves to it. Captives ta ato. So in other words, we were captives of the law and slaves to sin. We were that helpless people who are in need of being set free and powerless all on our own. If God did not intervene and sent forth His Son Jesus to come into this world, that would be our state even until now, held captive by the law and slaves to sin. But good thing God did intervene. Now, how were we redeemed? Verse 13 of Galatians 3 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us by becoming a curse for us. Now, to qualify, the curse is not the law. Ang gatag ni God, dili to curse. But rather, the curse is the penalty levied or given for not keeping the law. That when you fail to meet the law, you will get a penalty for that or a consequence for that. The same way that mulabag tagbata sa nation nato. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26 says, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. So in other words, there was a penalty for failing the law. There was a price to be paid for that. So one, if learned last week, Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly. But for all the times na wala na fulfill ang law, failing to meet those expectations, Christ also paid the penalty for that. We were bought with a price, church. For Jesus to redeem us, if you were to redeem a slave, a captive, a prisoner, you had to pay a price for that. In some translations, it means to buy out someone. We were bought with that price, but not by gold, silver, or any riches. We were bought with a price, and that is Jesus. The reason why God Himself came into this world, and not He didn't just send any angel, any creature, any other person, was that He would die on the cross for our sins. It was only He who could fulfill His law, His standards. Only He could live the life that we should have lived. He also died the death we should have died. He needed to die in our place because, again, the wages of sin is death. There needed to be death. This goes all the way back to the story of creation. If you remember, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they hid from God and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, God asked them, where are you? After that, God did something else before He exiled them from the Garden of Eden. And what was that? He clothed them with garments of skins. He clothed Adam and Eve. Why? To cover up their guilt and shame. The question is, asa gikan ng garments of skin from animals? Death happened right there and then, not to Adam and Eve, but certainly to someone else. The nut right there is a foreshadowing of what was to come thousands of years later when Christ would appear to become the last final sacrifice to atone all our sins. That is why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ died because there needed to be death. For the wages of sin is death. And instead of us experiencing that, He died in our place. He gave His body, His life, and He shed His blood in our place for you and for me. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses or sins, according to the riches of His grace. So every time you look at the cross, you remind yourself of what Christ did for you. It's not just because nagpaka-martyr lang si Jesus. Okay, when I was younger, I used to think that. Now, He's like, sila Jose Rizal or all our heroes. He died because He loves us and that's it. But His death on the cross has eternal consequences or implications. And that needed to happen for us to be set free, for us to be redeemed from the bondage or slavery of sin and from being captives of the law. Dr. Rice Brooks aptly put that He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. He became the perfect substitute for us. And of course, 3 days later, He rose from the dead and He offered the gift of salvation to those who believe in Him and would repent of their sins. And this right here, if you realize na parang familiar na process, yes, that's the gospel. This is the gospel right here, the good news that Christ did all of these things. And for whom? For you and for me. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, this is the effect right here. So Christ has truly set us free. giset free ta niya and says, now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. That yes, you're saved now, set free na ka from the law, so don't live your life as if you need to enslave yourself for trying to do good works, to trying to please God with the law. Christ has set us free. Imagine that every time maga Christmas ka, when you think about Jesus, remember that He came into this world to set us free for that specific purpose. That one day He would die on a cross for you and for me. And you might ask, why were we redeemed nga ba? Why go through all that? Why did Jesus allow Himself to basically die on a cross for our sins? Why go through all of that? Galatians 4 verse 5 tells us that to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. We're going to talk more of next week or in the coming weeks, but there's a bit about the adoption that's written here. Adoption is not like the kind of adoption that we see in movies or we're usually exposed to. Like people would want to adopt babies, go to an orphanage. Adoption here is a bit different. In the ancient world, they would adopt someone. It's usually a bit older na. And the amazing thing here is that after setting us free from the curse of the law and redeeming us, God could have just let it happen this way. I've fulfilled the law for you. I've died on the cross for you. I've offered salvation for you. Now go on your way. Go on your way. Just stay free. Bahala na ka diha. Pwede naman buhatan dun ni Jesus. I've done my part. Kapoy na. Pawan ako this world. But it says here that we might receive adoption as sons. So they didn't just leave us alone. But after redeeming us, saving us, and taking us out from the bondage of sin and from the law, He adopted us or brought us to His family to be part of His people. That our relationship with God would be restored as well. That the reason why we're here today, we can freely worship Him, praise Him, pray to Him, be in His presence. The reason why we have this access to God is because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And because God allowed it that we would be treated as His sons or daughters. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off. Because without Jesus, we were far off. We were enemies of God, sinners. Remember in the temple of the Jews, not anyone could be in the Holy of Holies. Na gap na barrier that between us and God. But when Christ came, He tore that veil, that division between man and God, that we could be in the presence of God. You were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He gave us the right to become His sons or His daughters. And that's why we can call Him our Heavenly Father. Pwede naman na tumingin si God nga, don't call me Father, just call me God. Call me Almighty God. Call me Lord. But He allowed Himself to be called our Heavenly Father. We will be His children. Can you imagine that? God went through the extra mile to redeem us, to save us. And if that wasn't enough, to adopt us, to bring us into His family, into His people. To treat us as His children. And that's why, church, every time we celebrate Christmas, when you think about this baby right here, just don't just think of part of the elements of Christmas time, a decoration, something makita nimo. No. When you look at this baby right here, when you think about Jesus being born, think about what God had to go through. Think about what God did to redeem you, to save you, to do something for you, a sacrifice that you can never outdo, outgive, or outpay kang God. Because that right there is a reason on its own to celebrate Christmas, regardless of what we're experiencing now, whether in the midst of storms in our life, or whether we had a rough year a few months ago, or dili perfect ang Christmas party nato, or Christmas reunion nato this year. Regardless, we have a reason to celebrate Christmas. Because the Savior was born. He came into this world to rescue and redeem us. And for some of us here today, we might be over familiar with that thought. Akabulo naman ko na to. I've heard about that, the gospel, you know, Christ coming to this world. My prayer and my hope is that we will not be over familiar with that. In fact, here's a question for all of us. What would your life look like without Jesus? What would your life look like right now if Christ did not come into this world? Or if no one preached the gospel to you, if you didn't know anything about God, what Jesus did? If Jesus did not come yet into this world, what would your life look like right now? Where would you be right now? Unsa state sa imong kinabuhi karon? Asa ka mapulot karon? Kung wala si Christ sa life nimo. Every time we get familiar with what Christ did for us on the cross, think about this. If He did not die on the cross, where would you be right now? What would your life look like right now? And as we assess ourselves, we look back at our lives, I'm pretty sure gratefulness and joy would just come out of our hearts. Parang, Lord, may nalang gisave ko nimo. May nalang you came, Lord, even though I totally did not deserve it, Lord, but you still went through all of that just to save us. We have a reason to celebrate Christmas because God has purchased our freedom and we are no longer in bondage to sin or to the curse of the law. Every year, we celebrate our Independence Day as a nation. We're set free from being oppressed, from being occupied. We celebrate our freedom as a nation, Independence Day. Well, guess what? Every Christmas, you can look at it this way. You celebrate the fact that someone came to this world to set you free from the bondage of your sins. That to any of us here today, you feel like you're struggling in a certain sin area, a certain problem in your life, whatever struggles you're experiencing right now, think of it this way. Christ came to set you free from that. Whatever struggle, sins, addictions, relational dysfunctions, whatever that may be, Christ came to set us free from the bondage of sin and the curse of the law. And that right there is a reason to celebrate. Thank you for being born. Thank you that you came to this world to rescue, to save us, to set us free. Ultimately, Christmas is worth celebrating because we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus. The one we need the most. Our Savior. That He actually came to save us over 2,000 years ago. And every year, that right there is worth celebrating. In fact, not just during Christmas. Every day, we ought to be grateful for what He did for us in our lives. Church, that right there is a reason for us to celebrate Christmas. Regardless if perfect ay mong nakaplano ng Christmas karon or not, I hope that when we look back and remember what Christ has done for us, gratefulness and joy will abound in our hearts, that we will choose to celebrate because of what He did for us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.